Blog Talk Radio.
Crime just said. Well, good evening, everybody. It's Monday night, a little bit past, nobody's pissed, a little past 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. on them all. We're starting off good. This is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man. Greetings to citizens of the Twin Cities of Millennium and Paragon Cities. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Let's just get to it. My co-host is here. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. We just call him Mad Viking.
I'm a happy camper.
Mad's in a good mood. I'm in a good mood too. So we got many things to discuss.
Oh yes. Especially that little lore into what I was doing about. After months,
so, as you,
years, decades, it's finally going to happen.
Okay. So, first things first, as you know, this is the time when we usually rant and rave about the devs costume contest. I think it was one of the finest dev costume contests ever. didn't mean to make you choke.
Wonder why.
I'll get to it. So this month was, it was just randomized. And I think that was one of the coolest ways to do it. Because nobody could bitch and moan about it. It's like, you know, in the costume creator, you hit the randomize button. Well, you can hit it up to 3 times, pick one of the ones you like, and you have to go with that. Now, and this is what they said, if it looks like it's not random, you're full of shit and you're disqualified. And when they were doing the feed, like, oh, that's a nice costume, everything's really smooth, everyone's like, yeah, bullshit, that's random, come on. It's like, they even had a name for themselves. It's like, you hit random and everything on that costume goes together. Now, if you want to see random, I'm wearing my costume in the WCOC theater. The WCC studio. Right, we had it in the theater the other night. I'm standing on top of the desk so you can see. Basically, I've got hooves, clawed hands, a cat head without a face. I got these ridiculous wooden claws strapped to my wrist on top of that. And a giant hand, turn around, and a giant fluffy squirrel tail. The human body, it kind of looks like a spacesuit from the waist up with a ribbon on it and some kind of armored legs. And even just, what?
And hooves for feet.
What was that?
Hooves.
I said
for
that. Hooves for feet. Right. Hooves. 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 Right. Hooves for feet. Sorry. And it's like, and everybody's going, well, that's not fucking random. I don't know what the hell is. Right? So they're going through the things. Some people we know won. I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool, that's cool. Then they get to the final three. And two of them were, like, somewhat random. I think one of them wasn't even random. Like, here we go. And then the last of the top three. Yours truly is announced as one of the big three winners.
Horowitz wins! Like, Horowitz wins! Oh, my God! Horowitz wins!
And I'm left. I'm going, the only way I could possibly win is with a random costume here. Throw this on. Just throw this on. It's basically, throw this on, good luck. You know, it was like, yeah, I know it's luck. But you know what? That's how I feel every time you go to these things. So why not? There we go. My coronation. Hold on. Thank you. The only other time I won at DevCC is when we did the Sentai group, which I think everybody's getting in on now. Everybody's making a costume for that now.
Oh, perfect timing with Prince Charles about to be crowned king.
Oh, that's right. When is that going on? This week? Is it this week? Or?
Sometime soon. It's going to be soon.
Oh. Life changes along with the king.
But, I was just going, Horowitz wins!
But you know what's funny about that? towards the end of the 80s, WCW folded. And they made the Global Wrestling Federation, right? Mm-hmm. Barry Horowitz was there. His manager was Percy Pringle III, who later years became known as Paul Bearer. Dyed his hair black.
That's self-unfact.
Barry Horowitz. What was that? What was that?
Silver Egret, pat himself on back three times.
Right, right.
Was that Horowitz or was that Barry O?
That was Barry O. Barry O. Pat. I think Barry O. pat himself on the back three times. Hold on. So, in the GWF with Percy Pringle as manager, he kept winning. So he says, I'm no longer a loser. I'm the winner. And that became his moniker. He was Barry the Winner Horowitz. And I sat there every, and this is on the afternoon, right? And I would watch it going, and I told one of my friends, he goes, you're full of shit. We had a VCR. I recorded an episode. He came over and it said underneath him, hasn't lost a match in 8 months. He's like, huh? You mean all he had to do was get away from WWF and he's winning? I was like, yeah. He wins like he's had more wins in the last 8 months than he had the whole time he was in WWF. And he had a lot of matches in WWF. He went from developmental wrestler, you know, to
the ultimate jobber to the winner.
He was like their main heel for a while too. Damn, now I want to look him up, see if he won any titles. Because what happened was when they had it on, I got a job and I couldn't watch it anymore. So it was just one of those things where it was just like, but what's funny is a lot of the wrestlers we know today got their start there. Booker T, JBL, he was known as something Hawk. I think it was just John Hawk or something like that. But a lot of the guys now, looking back on that, it was just funny. It was just, I wonder if they have a page for him. Oh, they do have a page for him.
The thing is, you got to feel sorry for Body Donna Skip, the one who let him win. anyway,
his final run. Hold on, his final run in 1988 WWE. He rattled off 15 wins before he left. 14 victories,
and
including
right
the improbable pin, including an improbable pin over a young Ken Shamrock on July 29th. But he suffered a loss to Mark Young in Waco, Texas, on April 22nd. And he departed for WCW.
Anyway.
And then he wrestled in 1990. He wrestled 50 matches on WCW, 49 losses and one win. Then he, 1991, he went to Global Wrestling Federation. The Global Wrestling Federation. Hold on. Oh, he was billed. Yeah, like I said, he was billed as Barry the Winner Horowitz. He won the GWF Light Heavyweight Championship on two occasions within the space of a month. And then he remained there for 2 years until they declared bankruptcy. And then 91-95, he came back. He was used to put talent over. He was jobber to the stars.
And Alto is torturing you with Draw Together. And Alan is torturing you with Draw Together, Crayon Cartel.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw it. I'm a happy camper. After years from the original game, we're talking, let's see.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
All right. All right.
In 1985, he pinned Bobby Dunn as Skip.
Mm-hmm.
And then he formed it. This is pushed to the main roster. Finally, 1995, he was tag teaming with Hakushi from 95 to 97.
Indeed.
They played up Horowitz's Jewish heritage. I remember this. He introducing a Star of David on his wrestling trunks and making his entrance theme an upbeat version of the Jewish folk song Hava Nagila. I remember that. I was like, what the hell? I was waiting for them to put him on a chair and have like four guys bring him in, carrying him on the chair.
All right, well, let's talk a little some gaming stuff here. And, oh, yes. Well, let's make it easy. First, no update from Ship of Heroes, so there will not be any alcohol poisoning.
Thank God. Oh, my goodness.
And City Titans?
Nothing. We got nothing.
All right. Makes it easy. All right. Now, why I was doing the jingle earlier. After years of waiting for one version, all the way to now, it's going to happen. It's going to be on Peacock. Twisted Metal, the TV series.
Ooh, it's going to be a Peacock? I get that. Woo-hoo.
And I just found the cast. All right, Anthony Mackie is going to play John Doe. Okay, I thought it was going to be Agent Shepard. Nope, it's John Doe. And John Doe, if memory serves me right, is Roadkill, the alternate of Marcus Kane, who doesn't know who he is. All right. There is going to be an Agent Shepard, so there will be Crimson Fury.
He's an amnesiac. He's an amnesiac milkman.
Mm-hmm. And,
who agrees to deliver? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. There will be an Agent Stone. There will be Outlaw.
Do you know when it premieres?
Hold on. You're gonna like one. Sweet Tooth.
I have the date. All right. Go ahead. Yes.
Sweet Tooth. Samoa Joe. Poster.
You're kidding me.
It's
Samoa
Joe. Now, they'll have one episode where Sweet Tooth, and, you know, I guess pre-Sweet Tooth, but yeah,
right.
Sweet Tooth,
that's
Joe
awesome.
Sanoa, better known as Samoa Joe.
Right. That's
talk
funny.
About bringing new meaning to the old chant, Joe's gonna kill ya.
That's right. Joe, I can see the fans go on Ring of Honor, Joe's got a Sweet Tooth.
I
have the premiere date. The premiere date on Peacock, not too far off, July 27th.
Yep. All right, so
it's
like I said, we will. As of now, by names of the characters, we will have the Roadkill. We will have Crimson Fury. We will have an Outlaw. That's the cop car.
Oh.
And Sweet
You know
Tooth.
What's funny? If I had scrolled to the bottom of the page, Twisted Metal series cast Samoa Joe's Sweet Tooth, but do you know who's voicing Sweet Tooth?
Will Arnett.
That's going to be cool. That's going to be cool. And Neve Campbell is in the cast. So there you go.
Pre-Sweet Tooth will be Marcus Kane, yes. But remember, there was another Kane, and that was John Doe. That's Roadkill.
That's right. Don't you people forget it.
Now, yes, as the timeline went on, he knew what his name was. He knew, and it's all in his head.
Right.
Now, there are three other vehicles that I say has to be in, one way or another. Axel, the guy who's built into the wheels. Warthog, someone's got to play the soldier. And finally, I know he only made one show in Twisted Metal 2, but I'm hoping we get to see Mr. Slam.
Okay.
That'll be the construction vehicle. That picks him up and slams you all over the place.
Oh, excuse me. Yes.
Needles Kane, yep, Legion. But, yeah, like I said, there's got to be Axel. Oh, wait a minute. One more. How can I forget this one? How can I forget Mr. Death?
No. Oh, my God. I hit my spacebar just in time in City of Heroes.
Oh.
Because it goes, you're going to be logged out. I'm like, I haven't checked in a while. And all of a sudden, I see the countdown clock, like, you're going to be logged out. And I tapped it as I hit one. I'm like, no!
Oh, yeah. Well, I did not see Calypso on the list. Now, you know, I don't know why, but they did not mention Calypso.
You know, sadly, that is one game I never played. I never played that series.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. Should. I know. I'm sorry. Well, you know, I said about Mario Kart for years, and then I got the Nintendo Switch, and I was hooked on that game for months.
No, you were playing Dead or Alive, weren't you?
Yes. Dead or Alive 1 and 2? What was it, 2 games?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. I remember the one weekend I played it. How many Dead or Alive are there?
There are quite a few now.
I didn't know that.
All with the signature graphics. But, Twisted Metal. The only time I really didn't like Twisted Metal is when they went into PvP mode. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I don't like game mode only because if the other guy's got a better rig than me, you know, all those trick stuff, then it's...
Yeah, I mean, and not to mention, there was only 4 stories. There was Sweet Tooth, there was Dollface, there was Mr. Grimm, and Preacher.
No, you know what? It's not Dead or Alive. Left 4 Dead.
Oh, Left 4 Dead. Okay.
Yeah. Left 4 Dead. I was like, wait, there's only 2 games that I remember.
All right, so out of the ones that I've already mentioned, whether it's going to be or I hope that's going to be, who else you want to see in Twisted Metal, the TV series? Grasshopper? Yeah, the Dead Ghost's daughter. Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. Grasshopper was the Volkswagen, right? That was the VW bug.
I don't. How long ago did Cyberpunk 2077 come out? Like last 2 years ago?
Oh, God. I couldn't give you that answer there.
Remember all the hype around that game? Well, GameStop is now selling it for $19.99.
All right. Mordecai also joins you and never played Twisted Metal.
Okay. We were playing other stuff. Sorry, you just can't play everything.
And I wasn't really into card games, but once I did Twisted Metal, it was like, yes. Grasshoppers was the beach buggy car. Okay. I thought it was the VW bug. Well,
I remember it was a good game.
Yeah.
I remember people telling me, you know what? What's funny? I remember way back when Final Fantasy 1 came out for the NES. And then all of a sudden, PS4 came out. What, Final Fantasy 7? And me and my friends, we were like, what happened to 2 through 6? Because we never heard of it. And I remember
they were there. They were just there.
Yeah, it somebody said they were like Japanese. They were like Japanese only releases, and it was just like, it's like oh, because we had fun playing it at his girlfriend's house because we were doing landscaping, because their yard was horrible, and it was like trying. They had all these landscaping projects they wanted to do, and it's like seriously, the two of us, and the money they spent. The parents had money, and it was like, yeah, guys, come on over. Just, you know, so we showed up like 7 o'clock in the morning. We worked till about 2 or 3, and then we hung out playing video games. Invited to dinner, then we played D&D till about 11, midnight, something like that. Went home, and got up the next day.
I think Alto wants Grasshopper. He says, tell him the whole story.
So.
Of a grasshopper because of the jump.
So I played all of them up to 10 through 2. Is that Final Fantasy? I don't even know where to find them. I don't even know what systems they're available for. I used to have an NES. And then other systems came out. I wish I would have held on to the NES. You know, like certain systems you have, you know, it's like... For fond memories, it's like certain games, like Atari 2600. I loved Space Invaders and this game Laser Blast. You know? And I could flip those games over, those scores over. Those are my jams. You know, like certain game systems, you have certain games you play. And it's just... But then certain games you get, Brandon, and it's like, why is this not working? So,
all right, so we have a nomination for Grasshopper.
Okay.
Spectre was the actor, the purple car. Okay.
I'm sure they will know.
Yeah. But like I said, I'm hoping they pull in Axel, Warthog, and Mr. Slam. Yeah, I know Slam was buggy, but you enjoyed it when you picked up the car and went slam, 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 slam. They couldn't fire a damn thing. I was always playing Warthog. I'll admit to that. Why? Great defense. Basically a tank.
Mm.
Literally, in some of the builds, it was part tank. Yeah, but up to the last one, you know, it also had great backstories to each driver, especially Twisted Metal Black, With that intro with the Rolling Stones painted black. Then later on you get, and at the ending, you get Sammy Hagar heavy metal.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Unless that, you know, some, you know, watch again for your four, but that's what is also the rock.
Okay.
Zombie
who'd
years.
You want? You wanted Slam?
Slam.
Okay. I'm on IMDb. In one episode, Creek Wilson plays somebody called Mr. Slam.
Yes! All right. So
I'm
now
guessing.
We need a general that will play Warthog, and Axel. Basically, his character was his father literally built him into the machine.
Okay, so we need Axel. What are you saying, Axel, and who's the other one?
Warthog.
Warthog. I'm looking.
Those are the
I'm
names.
Looking.
That was the name of the cars.
Right. I'm just trying to see if we have any information here.
Thumper. There was another one. Fury.
Yeah, the Milkman.
Stone.
Fury Agent Stone. Wait, I saw an agent up here. Hold on. Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine is in this as Quiet. Agent Shepard. Amber. We have Tinker. Somebody called Extra. Raven. Agent Stone. Thomas Hayden Church was playing Agent Stone in one episode. I'm looking.
Okay, and since Mr. Grimm was mentioned, and that's the guy with the skull for a helmet, we got to go to the news of Marvel. We got to go straight to it.
All right, I got the story.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned it. Right. Let me get the. All right. Courtesy of Superhero Hype. Let me get there.
We have MCU shenanigans.
Wait a minute. I had it.
I know you had it. You were
I know. We were right. Okay. Here we go. All right. So the thing. MCU actor could be male or female, big name Hyde. So this came out today on the my stories usually come from superherohype.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this was from today, earlier today. While not too much is known about the upcoming Fantastic Four film from Marvel Studios, recent rumors have begun circulating about who could be playing the Thing in the upcoming MCU film. A recent report from Twitter user My Time to Shine Hello, a noted movie insider and quote-unquote scooper for comic book films, notes that Marvel Studios has been looking at actors to play The Thing in the upcoming film. While the insider didn't say much, he noted that the studio was looking at Jewish actors, both male and... There you go. We got our drinking game on. No more. I'm still recovering from last week. No. Both male and female to play the role. He also name dropped Mila Kunis, that 70s show, Black Swan, Friends with Benefits. Okay, I have a complaint here. They're rattling off shows and movies. Why not Meg from Family Guy? She's still doing the role after all these years. As one of the actors. And yes. As a matter of fact, when they were filming Ted, there was a bet, like if she could do something, she would never have to sing on Family Guy. And she couldn't do it. She's like, oh, shit. This is one of the outtakes. As one of the actors that Marvel Studios is reportedly looking at. Of course, nothing is set in stone as of yet, with no official casting for any members of the iconic group having been revealed. Now, what's funny is, on My Time to Shine's Twitter, he says Jewish actors. So, while it's unclear who will play the role of the Fantastic Four members, rumors have begun heating up as to who Marvel Studios might be eyeing. Recently, reports that Adam Driver had been offered the role of Reed Richards appeared, with other reports suggesting names like Jodie Comer and Elvis star Austin Butler has been eyed to appear in the movie. Official casting for the film hasn't been announced yet, but The Office alum John Krasinski recently made his debut as a variant of Reed Richards / Mr. Fantastic in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
He
Marvel's
back.
Fantastic
he got
Four.
Killed.
Yeah. Well, let me try that again. Marvel's Fantastic Four.
He turned to string cheese, okay? He's not coming back.
Marvel's Fantastic Four comic book series, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, debuted in 1961 and was the first superhero team that title produced by Marvel Comics. The film is set to make its debut during Phase 6 of the MCU on February 14th, 2025.
Okay, and AFK.
So Valentine's Day, 2025, they're going to debut this new.
Now, there was one part in that. Now, I can tell you right now, on YouTube, everyone is freaking out over Mila Kunis being the Thing until you read something in one of those articles. And that it's not going to be an origin story. Now,
right.
If that is the case, and they put Beale's unit
yeah,
as
it's
the
right here.
Thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll
right.
let you
now,
read
here's
that
the follow-up story. Yeah, hold on, I got to get there. Okay, so Kevin Feige, I think that's how you say his name, Feige. I always go Kevin F. because I've heard like several different ways they pronounce his name. Now this goes back to July 27, 2022, when Kevin F., the guy in charge of the MCU, says Fantastic Four reboot won't be an origin story. So whether by chance or design, the MCU's Fantastic Four reboot will arrive in theaters over 9 years after the franchise's last cinematic reboot. 2015's Misguided Fantastic was so unloved that even director Josh Trank bashed the studio cut ahead of its opening weekend. I remember this. That morning, they made a big deal about it. He sent a Twitter out. I apologize for what you were about to see. And we were making fun of this movie and because it came out on a Friday. And all I remember saying was this. You know this is going to suck when the director apologizes hours ahead of time of the release.
Now, if so, they're going not origin story, and according to this article, it's supposed to be 9 years after the, as you'd like to call it, the Fantastic Four.
Right. Well, this is, hold on, there's more to the story. This is what Kevin said. Right. A lot of people know this origin story. A lot of people know the basics. How do we take that and bring something that they've never seen before? He also said that we've set a very high bar for ourselves with bringing that to the screen. That's because Stan Lee and artist Jack Kirby used the Fantastic Four as the launch title for what became the Marvel Universe in 1961. Back in that era, Fantastic Four was the flagship comic for Marvel that introduced numerous new characters, including Silver Surfer, Galactus, the Inhumans, Black Panther, and more. However, it should be noted that Kevin made similar remarks about Doctor Strange not being an origin story, and yet his origin is prominently featured in that film. So it is entirely possible that some aspect of their origin will be used, but it might be a few years before we know for sure. Well, yeah, still 2 years away. Director John Watts recently left the FF reboot in favor of working on a Star Wars series for Lucasfilm. So far, Marvel has not yet named a new... At this point, they haven't named... I think they have one now. Now, this is funny. Over the week, in 2022 at San Diego Comic-Con, Marvel announced Fantastic Four will kick off Phase 6 on November 8, 2024. They moved it up to Valentine's Day since this article came out.
Mm-hmm. Now, if they're going to do this route, where... You've already told the story, and they actually want to use the Fantastic Four movie as their basis. Okay. Then I am suggesting if they do pull in Mila Kunis or they're going to forego Ben Grimm, and they're going to bring in Sharon Ventura, the She-Thing of the 90s. Yes, there is a She-Thing. You can take a look. It's there.
I said the same thing when I found out.
But it's like all over YouTube. Everyone's freaking out. It's like, they're going to gender swap. They're going to gender swap. Well, if they're not going to go with the origin, nope. They're just, okay, they're going to add a woman, but it's a canon character, Sharon Ventura. Now, Sharon Ventura, if memory serves right, redhead, was a wrestler, learned to be a pilot via Ben Grimm. At one point was totally disgusted, then she hammed up the fact that she was the She-Thing. You know, so it all depends on how they're going to do it. Now, this also, if they're going to aim in that period, they also, my suggestion, they may bring in Lyra, the Skrull that was at one point with the Fantastic Four. Or Lyra. L-Y-R-A. Lyra or Lyra? One of those.
I think it's Lyra.
It's Lyra. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with a Y, it's Lyra.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens as time goes on.
Yes, we will.
And it's like, I even got to some of these YouTube things. I go, maybe they're going to forego Ben Grimm and put in Sharon Ventura. Because all I hear is, they're going to gender swap. They're going to gender swap. I'm going like, no, this actually, they have a saving grace if they do it right.
You shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
So, you know, well, no one's responded, you know, to any of my posts on the YouTube. You know, they're just I guess they're going like, oh, yeah. There was a shit.
Oh, because they think you're crazy. No, I'm kidding.
Why the F would they pick She-Thing over Ben Grimm? It's like picking that snotty kid Nova instead of Richard Riker.
Ryder.
Ryder, yeah, right. Richard Riker. Yes, I'm still on Star Trek. anyway. But my answer to that is this is the same people during Captain Marvel movie just forego. Totally the origin of Captain Marvel with Captain Marvel, the original one,
well,
the first superhero to die.
Yeah.
Got cancer.
Of cancer. You know, graphic novel, Marvel's graphic novel number one, the very first Marvel graphic novel ever. God. That's okay. I showed up
at
the costume contest.
That is a rumor. You are correct. It is all a rumor.
Right. It's just a rumor. Right. But what's funny is, hold on. I showed up dressed as Captain Marvel from the 60s.
Mm-hmm. And
the 70s. And right. And the 70s. And some guy came up to me and goes, oh, nice gender swap of Brie Larson's Captain Marvel.
Like, no.
Huh? I did. I had to explain. I said, dude. And I found the Wikipedia page, and I sent it, and I was like, Captain Marvel was originally known as Captain Marvel, who I'm dressed as. It was for like a Halloween CC. And I was like, he was originally a guy. When they cast Brie Larson, that was the gender switch.
Well, technically, the story is, and I know Pokemon knows this,
right.
Ms. Marvel back in the 70s was the character in question in honor because she helped a lot of times with Marvel, helped him adjust to Earth, gain the powers. Then when he died, she later on, you will note the phrasing, picked up the mantle.
Right.
What about those gender swap Ghostbusters in that Afterlife movie?
Hold on. I have an answer for this. I have a perfect answer for this. It was all a dream, a horrible dream. It was more of a nightmare, actually. It never happened. It's not canon.
You woke up and Bobby Ewing is taking a shower.
That's right. It's not canon. It doesn't take place in the main GB universe.
Let's put it this way.
Even Alto typed it. It never happened in capital letters.
Let's put it this way.
Happened.
They totally fought to be in the Ghostbuster collection when they were doing it. All they got was a digital download. That's all they got.
Right. Well, who directed it? He was bitching that it wasn't in. He goes, yeah, you're in there. See, we gave a digital release. Because they specifically said they didn't want to be part of that story. Fine. The box set was for that story. So what are you bitching about? You can't have it both ways. You can't not want to be part of the main story. And then when a box set comes out, a cool box set, by the way, comes out about that story, the three movies, and go, well, we want to be in there. Well, I'll tell you what. You go make your own trilogy, and then you have your own nobody wants to see the second movie.
Mordecai.
Sorry!
Mordecai for the win here. Yeah. Funny how they struggle so much to gender swap male characters to have some strong women figures. They never figured out just do a Sailor Moon live action. Hello!
Wait a minute. Draft news. The Usos were drafted to SmackDown.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on. They could have a John Cena moment. Remember, he was drafted to one, and then he got switched to the other.
Yeah, I think that was so funny. They won the match, and then it's like, and everybody's like, it's to this day that's criticized as like the WT. Oh, wow. Judgment Day drafted to Raw. Oh, wait a minute. Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and Dominic Mysterio. Nothing about Rhea Ripley.
Ah. Anyway,
isn't she the Raw champion? Or wasn't she? Isn't she the Raw champion?
She is a champion. Yes.
Oh my God! She got switched to SmackDown. She's no longer with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the LWO, the Latino World Order, all five of them. They got drafted to SmackDown, which is funny because Zelina Vega is challenging Rhea Ripley.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's our winner.
Okay.
We know the pay-per-view now. Thanks. Thanks for the lead.
Oh, and Kevin. Well, no, that's already known. That pay-per-view is this weekend. So Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are on Raw.
It's Zelina Vega going against Rhea Ripley for the title.
They still are.
Yeah.
Because they're both on the same show.
What does that mean?
Rhea Ripley. Wait.
There it is.
But Rhea Ripley is on Raw. She was a SmackDown champion. She got traded. Remember they switched places? She got traded to Raw, didn't she? And Judgment Day, without Rhea Ripley, is going to SmackDown.
They also did the swap because Bianca Belair is also on SmackDown. So, yes, somebody's dropping a title. And with that, I'm saying Zelina Vega has just got a title.
Well, well, it doesn't matter because Rhea Ripley got traded to Raw. It doesn't matter. It doesn't say
Chris
the Raw Women's
Tuxedo Mask. All right, but
okay.
Now you talk about strong women. Okay,
right.
How about we had Wolverine have a solo? Why not Storm? Why not Storm?
What would they do? Her origin story?
Origin story, or meeting with Gambit?
I was thinking of that, but how would you explain? Yeah, how would they explain she's a little girl again? Well, what's funny? Hold on. Here's the deal. Now that the X-Men are in the MCU, or will be, you have to introduce them in the MCU first before you do the individual movies.
Because
these were done by Sony. If you watch Logan, that was it. But he's going to be in the next Deadpool movie. And
right.
That's also part of... So unless they introduce the X-Men in that movie, I don't know.
But the fact that it brought in Patrick Stewart's X-Men, that means, either Halle Berry or what's her name, the other one.
Right, the new one.
Either one of those
stories. The first class.
Yeah.
Mm.
Either one.
Or
why not Storm?
Or are they going to bring in all new actors to play them?
Possible. They want strong women. Okay, Storm. Simple. Everyone loves Storm. I haven't found one person who goes, I don't like Storm.
she's... But I wish... I keep saying the original lineup. Yeah, I wish they would do the lineup from the 80s, early 90s. And we haven't... You know what I mean? Like...
Mm-hmm.
Cyclops,
I have to write it out.
Cyclops, Colossus, Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Banshee, the original Thunderhawk.
I wasn't going to say that because when I started reading in like 85. Kitty Pryde, Rogue.
Marcus says the OGs, the first five.
Yeah. Perfect lineup for the MCU X-Men is the OG five. Yeah. I would say the OG five, you know what you do? Do a movie with the OG five and then do it from the X-Men giant size one. They get captured and then introduce all the other X-Men.
Well, at the end of the first one, bring in Havoc and Polaris.
Bring them all in, yeah. Right, bring in Wolverine, Havoc. Colossus, Storm, Nightcrawler.
Bring in Havoc and Polaris. Therefore, they're all captured on Krakoa.
But I would do in the middle of the movie, and this way you have to bring in all of them in one epic movie. No, Silver Girl says, love Kitty Pryde. She's who I basically call. Yeah. Alto's going pew, 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 pew. All right, so before we go any further, I need help after my show. I have to do one daily, the Worm Turns Daily. I need two Terra Siphons and 16 Elder Worms. I did all the other missions before, and then the team just bailed. Yes, and please have a badass, Captain Marvel's powers. Yes, I want to see them.
Yes,
I would love to see, like, maybe like by accident something happens, her mind is taken over, and she does it by accident. That would be sweet. Okay, Alto. Yes, thank you, Alto. Okay, you're signed up.
All right,
we got two.
Let's knock down Captain Marvel.
Adam will help.
For Brie Larson. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean?
Yes.
I get zapped. You get zapped.
All right, so Alto and Adam will help. Thank you, Alan / Adam and Alto. So the three of us. Oh, you want to make a team now? Okay, we'll make a team now. We're forming the team now. We're going worm hunting.
All right, so let's see. What other strong characters of Marvel? Because we can list DC to our heart's content. Now, Kitty Pryde.
Okay,
there's another.
Any of the X-Men, any of the female X-Men, Jean Grey. Jean Grey. You can't get much stronger than that.
Who else would be a good rogue?
Magic. Hmm. Like I said,
then you bring in Colossus. You can't have one without the other.
Not the New Mutant movie they put out that they held off for, push back. And then we got that crappy horror movie thing. I don't know what the hell that was all about. Jump, by the way. I mean, like the real New Mutants. Magic and what's in Prophecy and...
And let's say if they want to go Avengers. Okay, they already brought in Black Widow. Scarlet Witch, they had WandaVision.
Right. And then the Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm. They brought in the She-Hulk to some degree.
Right, Mordecai Psylocke. Yeah. Mordecai the Psylocke. We covered that with all the X-Men women.
Mm.
All the X-Men women.
Let's see. How about Heroes for Hire?
Jessica Jones. Mm. Or is she not part of that?
Later on, she was. I'm talking the original ones. Misty Knight.
That's what I was thinking of. All right, sorry. I was thinking. Okay, She-Hulk. And not the lousy CGI TV series. I mean, the actual. I know for some reason they love to make or break the fourth wall and do campy, stupid stuff on their series.
But...
She kicks ass.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Alto saying Pogo. Yes. Yes, Alto. I'll try to type it. Hold on. All right, Alto.
Jim Carrey is
Jim Carrey. benefits.
No.
Well, that's just being silly now. No, that's just being silly.
God.
Come on. Actually, I really like Patrick Stewart. You know why? Back in 1984, there were rumors they were considering doing a live action. My dad gave me this Star Trek magazine, Star Trek fan magazine. And in it, there was an article, there was a rumor that they were going to do a live action X-Men. They were going to try and do a live action movie back in 1984. And one of the questions was, who do you want to, based on the current lineup, or 1984, 1985, who do you want to see as X-Men? And ever since then, every couple months, I would sit there and go, who would, based on appearance, and what, you got to remember way back when, and we were going, well, based on appearance, because Thunderdome came out, Tina Turner looks like Storm. Because of the white hair, the long white hair. And it's like, oh, yeah, she does. So we would all, and every year, so we would update this shit. And then Next Generation came out, and all of a sudden it was like, Patrick Stewart. He would make the perfect. And for years we said that, and then the movie finally came out. They're like, oh, my God, he nailed it. He nailed it. Like, every list that we made, every list we made, right, like, top of the list, Professor X, Patrick Stewart. No matter what, hands down, Patrick Stewart. And then we go Colossus, Ivan Drago. Well, I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, I see him, too. I can't think of it.
Ivan Drago from, because he did other action movies, too, where he was a good guy, where he was a hero. And he was a badass. Oh, why can't I remember his name?
He was also a He-Man.
Somebody help. Yes. Yeah, we forget that one, though. Like I said, we're remembering the good. No, he did some, like, B-rate action movies where he was actually good. He did a movie with Bruce Lee's son and Tia Carrera.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yes. See, back then we said, yeah, he dyed his hair black and they could do the special effects. You know, this is before CGI. I was like, I don't know how the hell they're gonna, like, prosthetic foam body over him, not like the thing from that Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie. Hopefully they'll do better. Huh. Okay, I actually have something, a news story about Deadpool 3. Let me get to that really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, again, this came out today. Big day for news. Deadpool 3 features the return of an X-Force member from the second movie. Another character from Deadpool 2 is returning for the upcoming sequel. As Deadpool 3 is set to feature the X-Force member, Peter.
Wait a minute. He got spit on.
Remember, and during the end credits, he used the time machine to go back, and he saved Peter. And he goes, Peter, just go. Just go, Huggy Bear. Just go. He goes, okay, I'm going. I give Domino my email. Sure thing. You got a big guy. Remember, he went back and saved him.
Okay, I forgot about that one.
Deadline is reported. All right, so according to Deadline, as reported, that Rob Delaney will once again be playing Peter, the completely normal human member of Deadpool's superpowered X-Force team.
I have a question. All right.
Well, I'm just reading it. Wait. Okay. Though that the vast save your questions for the end, please.
Okay.
Though that the vast majority of the team, including Peter, dies in comedic ways shortly after being introduced, a post-credit scene shows Deadpool go back in time to save Peter, potentially explaining how he'll be back in Deadpool 3. Delaney joins fellow returning cast members Marina Baccarin and Stefan Kapicic, who played Vanessa and the X-Men member Colossus, respectively, as well as Leslie Uggams and Karen Soni, who are reprising their roles as Deadpool's friends, Blind Al and Dopinder. Though quite a few characters are returning, it was recently revealed that Hugh Jackman's Wolverine will be, quote-unquote, a divergence. Ryan Reynolds is headlining Deadpool 3 as Wade Wilson / Deadpool, teaming up with Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Sean Levy is directing the film from a script by Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese with Zeb Wells, which was from an earlier draft by Wendy Molyneux and Lizzie Molyneux-Loughlin. The sequel is set to release in theaters on November 8th, 2024. Oh, that sucks. I want it this year.
Now, why when I first saw Peter in the Deadpool movie. All I could think of was Excalibur Pete Wisdom, who was, for a long time, considered a normal human.
Maybe that's what it is. That would be its twist at the end of Deadpool 3.
Mm-hmm.
If that's who you saw.
Well, it's that time once again.
Yes. And after all that, talking about normal heroes and bizarre heroes. Okay. They went to the tomb to bring me the tome.
You got it right. Twice in two in a row.
I know.
You're in a roll.
Dewey, I'm so happy. And they're in their Jedi robes because it's Star Wars month. Yes. We're going to discuss that. We'll discuss that in a little bit when I'm done. But for now, let's just say if your arch-villain, arch-nemesis, or, you know, one of these guys you need. Nemesis. I know. Yeah, nemesis. Quote from Mystery Men. I set you up well for that. It's such a fucking underrated movie. It's such a good movie. I could watch that all day. Okay. These are oddball criminals from comic book history. They are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. And sadly, there's no volume twos on any of these.
Warning, the Golden Age usually gets dirty minds going. So there's your warning.
That's what I love about the Golden Age. There's such a purity and innocence in the writing because it's supposed to be for kids. And it's like, are you kidding me? All right. I don't know what this one is. I just do a cold reading so we all have a laugh. All right. This one. Okay, hold on a minute. They're about to do more of the Raw. Should I hold off for the Raw draft?
If you want, you got the book.
Okay, hold up. They're about to give more. Who would win, Magneto or Darth Vader? Are you kidding me? Magneto would crush his armor in like 2 seconds. If I was Magneto, I would stay out of the range of his... Well, wait, how can you stay out of the range of his force?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Well, hold on. With the helmet on, he wouldn't be able to read his mind. So would he sense his presence?
There's a difference between sensing presence and reading mind.
Yeah, but with the helmet on, his telepathy doesn't work. So would he be able to sense his presence? How does he sense his presence? Right. But what I'm saying, okay, the draft was just interrupted by Brock Lesnar. So you know when Brock Lesnar shows up, everything else stops. So we're going to keep going. Okay, this villain is an enemy of the Barker and not Bob. Created by Klaus Nordlund.
Happy Gilmore!
debuted in National Comics number 55. Quality Comics, August 1946. Reason for turning to crime, building a nest egg. The quote, "Stand back, you fools. I'd soon kill you as argue." This villain's name, the Hawk. Though many stories in the Silver Age and onward would focus on villains' attempts to collect powerful mystical arcana, conquer whole worlds, or even demolish the entire universe, the bad guys in Golden Age comics often worked small. A little kickback here and there seemed good enough, and protection rackets are a common motif. This is the strategy employed by the Hawk, a bizarre, thin-limbed, feather-coated oddball who makes waves at the popular Colonel Lane Circus by scaring its performers right off the high wire. The success of the Wills brothers, a trio of burly, carrot-topped acrobats, lures the Hawk into their dressing room. "At your service, gentlemen," he mutters menacingly while humbly bowing, always ready to give a stuntman a break or a tumble, whichever he chooses. The frightened brothers are soon begging to be released from their contract, revealing their problem to Carney Callahan, secretly the Barker, a crime fighter whose beat was the Carnival Circus. The Carnival Circuit. The eldest Wills explains that the Hawk intends to extort every stuntman in the business. Recent accidental deaths of many big top stuntmen at the hands or talons of an interfering bird of prey suggests that the would-be extortionist isn't bluffing. The Hawk, as it turns out, enjoys a peculiar reputation. His enemies aren't sure if he's man or bird, or both. Undeterred, the Barker confronts the wretch and gives him the option of skipping town or being hauled to the Hooskow. The Hawk chooses neither, ducking behind a tree and emerging as a vicious giant raptor who cleans up on the Barker and several sideshow assistants. Later, the same giant bird knocks one Will's brother from the high wire and threatens to startle a lion into chomping on the head of his stand-in trainer, Carney Callahan himself. But as the lion grabs the Hawk instead, the villain's duplicity is revealed. "Make that beast drop my bird," shrieks the hidden and very human Hawk. Once the performers are sure that the Hawk is just a guy with a trained bird, they make short work of him. The circus's owner, Colonel Lane, recognizes the baddie as a former magician. That accounts for his ability to pull disappearing acts and substitute himself for the bird, concludes the Barker. In the end, everything works out for the circus. As the last performing Will's brother climbs into a cannon in preparation to be shot 100 yards across the tent, he cheerfully confides in the Barker, "Boy, it's wonderful to feel safe and sound again." If you say so.
Later on, you will take up the job as Harvey Birdman.
A fine lawyer, attorney at law.
I'll take the case.
Dun, dun, dun.
Link to old cartoon.
That's right. And using the new one that he did. And I'm sorry I didn't give Bird Girl a chance. I didn't watch that one. Actually, I didn't know when it started. It was like by the time it was on, like the first season was halfway over. And Alto's gone crazy. He's got a big head and he's gone crazy. Okay. Our next villain from the Silver Age, an enemy of Flyman, Flygirl, and sophisticated New Yorkers. He was created by Jerry Siegel and Paul Weinman. I don't know how that combination of enemies works. You know, I can see the Flyman, Flygirl. I don't get the sophisticated New Yorkers. We'll figure this one out.
Okay.
But the villain debuted in Flyman number 35 of Mighty Comics Group, January 1966. This villain's greatest accomplishment? Completely cleared sinuses. Okay, the quote. "Lo, now comes Phantasmon, the Terrible. Bow down to your new master, Earthlings, or pay the consequences. Yes, I speak of the villain, Phantasmon."
AFK.
I don't know.
You.
Okay, hold on. I don't know if he's reggae, or that's just the way they decide to spell it. And Hell Lord Satan has joined us. The problem is when Hell Lord Satan says to jump, I'm not looking at the screen, so. I'm sorry, Hell Lord Satan. I appreciate it, but. If I was, I could see it. Okay. So, some supervillains are simply too powerful for a lasting career. If hero and villain are significantly mismatched, the story of their battle tends to be short. Take Phantasmon, the quote-unquote fearsome invader from outer space, shows up in the skies over New York, announcing his intent to conquer the Earth. Okay, here we go. Here's a quote. "Sophisticated New Yorkers are flabbergasted, to put it mildly," explains the caption. "Decked out in a Red Devil costume and sporting a keenly trimmed goatee, Phantasmon seems to possess an array of powers unmatched in the history of comics. He is capable of transforming matter and commanding even inanimate objects to obey his wishes. He can fly. possess hyperelasticity. He's got stretching tentacles.
Oh, no.
And
here we go.
Powers... It just says hyperelasticity in quotations. I have no idea what that means. And emits power-sapping rays from his fingers. Most impressive, however, is Phantasmon's signature power, unduplicated in the annals of the medium. Oh, my God. Nasal lightning. My snot is electric charged. Holy shit.
That explains the sophisticated New Yorkers.
That's, oh my God. That explains everything.
It's not zap.
Oh, good Lord. Behold, he cries unnecessarily, lightning bolts crashing out of my nostrils. You want to take you seriously? They had to cut back when he wanted to say, behold, fireballs out of my arse.
You have doesn't a burning sensation? No, fire comes out of my ass.
That's right, fireball. Literally fireballs, okay? I could shoot fireballs out of my ass. Leave me alone. Okay, this is created by Jerry Siegel, also creator of the hero who starred it all, Superman. Phantasmon might make for an even match against the Man of Steel. Instead, he finds himself pitted against Flyman and Flygirl. Flyman has a plan in case Phantasmon again resorts to that lightning from the nose trick. If he tries to fire any more bolts at us from his supercharged nose, he tells his partner, bash him. Great plan. Just punch him in the nose before he can fire them off. If he looks like he's about to say, achoo, hit him.
That's when you bring it. You know, forget superheroes. You just bring Muhammad Ali. That'll do it right there.
I feel like a butterfly sting like a bee, and I smash him. I hit him. I'll cock him in the nose. All right. Still, Phantasmon easily defeats the heroes, and he doesn't work alone. Despite his tremendous abilities, Phantasmon delegates to a trio of bizarre and equally powerful subordinates. Sorrow, S-O-R-R-O. I have a genius for spreading misery, he explains. Disastro, wherever I roam, disaster is bound to rear its ugly head. And the Crumbler, who sounds like the bad guy from a cookie commercial, but whose mere presence can prove to be uniquely calamitous. Mm-hmm. Flyman hatches the last-ditch strategy, contacting his most implacable enemies, the Dread Amalgam, known as Monsters Incorporated. Our hero proposes a truce via a merciless foe known as the iniquitous B-Man, agreeing that Monsters Incorporated should tackle Phantasmon et al. So they can interfere with the plans of Earth monsters against mankind. The hooded, scaly, densely furred, and incorporated monsters make surprisingly short work of the invaders. Clever, Flygirl tells Flyman. You conned Earth monsters into saving the Earth from alien monsters. To which Flyman can only reply, hopefully, and someday we'll defeat Monsters Incorporated too. Yeah, good luck with that.
And that group will later on become Justice League Antarctica.
Yes, I'm sure it will be.
Major Disaster, come on, there it was.
Yes. All right. And that brings us to the modern day.
Come on, Justice League Antarctica. Come on. You're overdue.
This is an enemy of the Champions and Spider-Man, etc.
Okay,
created by Bill Mantlo and John Byrne. Debuted in Champions number 14, Marvel Comics, July 1977. Mm-hmm. Friends call him Honey Bunch, Fuzzy, or Drone. The quote, through me they create, they think, through them I live and conquer.
Oh.
The villain's name? Swarm.
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 Oh,
Swarm.
Swarm.
I remember. Yeah,
I remember Swarm.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends. He would beam them, and they would turn to like human bees. And the stupid thing is, they would get bee wings, eyes, and antenna out of their head. And like we were just saying, Swarm over and over again. That's all these people would say.
Yep.
And Iceman and Firestar got caught. They pretended to beat them, and then they got caught. They got caught as frauds, and Swarm nailed them. He caught them. So Spider-Man had to go rescue them. Aunt May. It was just like, holy shit. So, and what's funny is years later, it was on some rerun. My godchild, my nephew, is watching the episode, and he starts doing the Swarm thing. It's like, is this just a guy thing when they watch this cartoon when they're little? Or is this just everybody does it? And he was laughing. I was like, let me tell you, kid, when this cartoon was first on years ago, me and my friends did the same thing, joking around. He goes, I feel silly doing it, but it's funny. It's like, yes, that's why we did it. We were making
Swarm
fun of it. Yes. Now we need somebody to walk in as a bee and just do it. Okay. Anyway. Oh, good Lord. I spoke too soon. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the intern bot dressed up. Okay. Waiting for this. Okay. Very good. Yeah, you see, you banged into the wall because you had those stupid things over your eyes. You couldn't see where you were going. He had a bee mask over his visor, over his face. He couldn't see. Okay, two facts are true of comic book super characters. First, you can't go wrong with bees. And second, you'll never find a better villain than a Nazi. Well, that's true. These axioms are evident in hundreds, if not thousands, of comic books. They've never come together quite as decisively as with Swarm, the man made of Nazi bees. Really? I don't know if Alto's trying to be a giant bee, but I don't know what he's doing. How he's doing a swarm, bees. Can you be a swarm if you're only one giant bee? Oh, after Swarm says that Swarm gives bees a bad name. You know, Alto, if you sting one of us once, you die, like, minutes later.
Unless you're a killer bee.
Don't get him. We are killer bees. All right. Swarm
and
represented...
And I don't mean the wrestling tag team.
That's right. A concentration of two popular media-driven fears of the late 1970s, an invasion of South American killer bees and a hidden menace of relocated Nazis inhabiting those south of the border jungles. If Swarm were also disco-themed, he'd have been the era's ultimate triple threat. The would-be, get it, conqueror is Fritz von Meyer, world expert on toxic poisons, apiculturist, and expatriate Nazi. In an unnamed South American nation, he hides from Nazi-hunting Interpol agents and whiles away the hours studying the breeding patterns of killer bees. His life sounds almost idyllic. Hiking the jungle trails, von Meyer stumbles across a strange, huge hive of passive bees he's never encountered. Suspecting the insects were mutated by radioactive meteors, of course, von Meyer unwisely blasts them with additional radiation. His intent is to reawaken their killer instincts and find a way to control them. The first steps of organizing the normally sedate bees into a world-conquering army. Predictably enough, the ray backfires. The bees reacquire their reputed viciousness and then some, attacking and stinging von Meyer en masse, until he grasps the queen bee. Somehow this grants Fritz the power to replace his irreparably strung body with that of an intelligent warder bees. He becomes, as he puts it, a living embodiment of the swarm. An apian assault on Los Angeles catches the attention of the champions, a short-lived super team so irrelevant to the Marvel Universe that the parent company barely noticed when the trademark lapsed. Now famous film stars Black Widow and Ghost Rider plus the immortal Greek god Hercules, former X-Men, Iceman, and Angel, and their Russian cohort, Darkstar, Swarm, and his army, which now inexplicably includes giant robot bees. All seems lost. All seems lost, I tell you. But then, the powerfully strong Hercules saves the day by hurling the hypothyroidal queen bee, roughly the size of a Volkswagen beetle, over the ocean. The bees of Swarm's mass follow, leaving the Nazi apiarist a collapsed heap of bones. Swarm returned to menace other Marvel superheroes, but his initial ignoble defeat must have surely stung. Okay, and there you have this week's offer from the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains.
And I think I remember one of the Spider-Mans is going like, anyone have a can of Raid?
Yes, yes, right, that's right. Okay, so as we know, this month is Star Wars month. And starting with today, May Day, May 1st, there is a list of many, many happenings going on. For example, today is the 501st day for the 501st Legion. In real life, they are a very popular group of cosplayers for the Empire. Of course, on Thursday, it's May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, May the 5th, Revenge of the 5th. I wonder if anyone on Bunny
or,
that one.
Oh, and, also,
and as I speak, Mordecai is changing to his Sith attire.
And it's also May 6th, because some say it's not the 5th, it's the 6th.
Oh, for the 6th,
Revenge
right.
The 6th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's because May the 4th be with you for the Jedi, so May the 5th, but May the 5th is also, oh, wait a minute. This wasn't discussed last week. Friday is May 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Cinco de Mayo.
You're going to have some drunk bunnies.
Okay, May 14th happens to be George Lucas's birthday. May 16th is the anniversary of Attack of the Clones. May 19th happens to be the anniversary of The Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith. May 20th is Empire Day. Now, this is not fair. May 21st, the Empire Strikes Back anniversary. So why do you have an Empire Day on the 20th? May 21st, ready for this one? A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, and Solo, the Solo movie anniversary. May 27th is the anniversary of the release of Obi-Wan, the Obi-Wan series. So wouldn't that be Kenobi? Who wrote this out?
Oh.
So there you go. 10 days to celebrate this month. 10 wonderful days.
And you got AFK over your head as I come back because my game froze.
Oh. Okay. I got. There we go. Thank you. Okay, so there you go for you people who are going to celebrate Star Wars all month.
In other words, Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. I'm still angry that Bill Murray did nothing. But they had the guy who played Han's son sing the song.
Really?
Yep. He goes, B-Wars, nothing but B-Wars.
Okay, I thought I had a story open here. I have one story about the Flash movie. And then I had something. Oh, okay, hold on. Do I have it here? Yes. Okay. I have two stories really quick. This one's from last week. Andy Muschietti explains why the Flash sequel is still possible. Good Lord. It's a minor miracle that the creative team behind The Flash was able to finish the movie. Between Ezra Miller's legal issues, post-production problems, and multiple director changes, the film appears to be a cursed project that would never see the light of day. But not only will The Flash arrive later this spring, it will also play an integral role in shaping the future of the DC Universe. And that's why director Andy Muschietti believes there are still more stories to tell in a sequel. At a recent screening, The Flash, via Collider, Muschietti participated in a Q&A with his producer sister, Barbara Muschietti. When asked about a potential sequel, the director claimed that he didn't talk about it with DC Brass and that the performance of The Flash will determine its future. However, Muschietti mentioned that the introduction of the multiverse opens the door for another installment. I think that we're all waiting to see how this movie does. Of course, there's excitement about continuing the story, especially if this movie is successful. Of course, there's an architecture in DC that is brewing, and it's being created. And the question is, will this new architecture absorb the story? The good thing, the good thing about the multiverse is that it is possible. The multiverse allows all these different worlds to coexist and interact. And so, hopefully, yes. I mean, we don't know yet. That's the truth. And, of course, the Flash movie hits on June 16th. And one more thing. There's an international The Flash trailer, and there was an error that reveals the villain twist. So the latest international Flash trailer may have inadvertently revealed a big twist in the highly anticipated upcoming film. The new trailer, which was released just a couple of days ago, seems to potentially hint that the Dark Flash, who has been rumored to be in the film for some time now, will be none other than another alternate version of Barry Allen. The moment was first realized by a Twitter user who spotted what looked to be a piece of the Dark Flash costume unedited on Barry Allen in a Japanese trailer for the film. The moment was likened to that of the international trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home, which infamously featured a piece of poorly edited footage that saw the Lizard being kicked in the face by an unseen force, hinting that another Spider-Man was, in fact, in the film. While the presence of Dark Flash is not a full shock, matter of fact, recent toys from McFarlane have hinted that he would be in the film, it was unknown as to who would play the character in the upcoming movie. The Flash sees the return of Ezra Miller as DCU's Scarlet Speedster / Barry Allen, who they first portrayed in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, Justice League, and Zack Snyder's Justice League. Joining Miller are Kiersey Clemons as Iris West, Maribel Verdu as Nora Allen, Sacha Kell as Supergirl, and Robin Livingston as Harry Allen, along with Keaton and Ben Affleck, who are reprising their respective versions of Bruce Wayne / Batman for the film. Okay. There you go. So those people who are going to help me out with Elder Worms, stick around. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Without you guys, it would just be me. And Mad Viking talking to ourselves about these things anyway. You guys rock. Go watch those superhero shows, superhero movies, read those comic books, et cetera, and so on. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Mad Viking, very quickly?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. And stick around for the Greatest Generation podcast on dawnradio.org. Embrace the dawn. And okay. That was pretty good.
All right.
Good show. All right. I'll hang up and you go do the podcast.
All right.
Thank you so much. I will see you later. I got to talk to you about the whole DawnCon thing. So.
Yep.
This week.
Right.
Yeah, I know. All right. I'll talk to you later. Have a good one. Thank you for co-hosting. All right. Talk to you. Bye.